Our second scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. May God add his blessing to the reading of the word this morning.
Amen. Jim was probably thinking I'd forget him, because I do from time to time. Jim's not on here, but he says, "Hey, I'm up. You want me to play something?" He's going to play something for us this morning, and enjoy. Thank you.
Christmas song. It's kind of not. It starts out as a Christmas song, and just turns into a good Christian song. So, anyway, hope you enjoy it. This is Beautiful Star of Bethlehem. Thank you, Jim.
I'm going to spend the next few weeks between now and Christmas talking about our impressions of God. And I wonder, you and I have first impressions of people sometimes, don't we? Because based on either what we first observe or based on what someone says about that person. I remember growing up, and some of you probably have these same stories. We lived out in the country, and there was a lot of, every mile there were section lines running every which way, and we had this old gentleman that lived in an old house by Fish Road that we were told if we ever walked onto his property, he'd shoot us. Now, as a kid, as a teenager, you're tempted to walk on the property to see if this guy will show up and shoot you, but then you're thinking, well, if he shows up and shoots you, then that doesn't work very well either. I never did. Never knew the guy. The guy eventually died, but that was my impression of the guy, and I never met him. But it was the impression of the guy that I never met because others had told me about this guy that I never met. He was as grumpy as they come, and I never actually did hear of him, anyone being shot by this guy. Which might tell you something. I don't know, but that's what I was told. You have these impressions. You all had a first impression several years ago. Some of you remember when I did something a few years ago when my brother and sister-in-law came and she dressed up and he dressed up with those false teeth, missing teeth and all that stuff. And they were sitting right about where Bill and Deanna are right now in the pew. And I had children's time. I was just wondering. I watched people as they came in that morning and how they responded to them. And I think some of you were a little scared of them. You know, my brother looked a little bit like a Duck Dynasty kind of person. Anyway, they came up for children's time. And the kids were scared to death of those kids. First impression was kind of scary. Now, I mean, they looked real. They really looked the part. But I knew Jeff and Julie, and they're as sweet, as nice a couple as you could ever meet. But first impressions sometimes are twisted by what we see, what we observe, or by what someone might say. And I think the same thing happens when it comes to people's impression of God. This first week, I want to talk about this one who came, and he came caring. We hear about that in the first Peter text, that he came, he was one who cared. And we know how much he cared by what he did. We know the full story. But I want to talk a little bit about this one who came caring. But before I do that, I want us to look at, you know, that infamous passage that's read probably almost every year, sometime during Advent, about these names that would be given in Isaiah to this one, this Messiah who would come. And these names would describe this one who would come. And people out there who have impressions of God, sometimes those impressions of God are based on maybe how someone has behaved towards God, maybe how someone has talked about God, maybe just the growing up atmosphere that they had. Who knows what it is, but everybody has these impressions. This one was going to come. He was going to come, what, as an ally or as an enemy? It all depends, doesn't it? It all depends on where you came from when you were introduced to this God. There's some people in the world today that certainly look at God as enemy, not as ally, not as the God of the universe, but they look at Him as enemy, not ally. He was going to come as maybe what? A rescuer or a judge. And you know, He came as both, didn't He? There are some, though, that have this impression that God is judge only, and He's a mean judge at that. You know, there's these YouTube videos about this judge. I can't remember his name. It's a guy, and he usually takes care of traffic violations for people, and they come before him, and they share their story. And a lot of times, I don't know if some of you know who I'm talking about, sometimes he lets them go because he's just a nice judge. You know, he's one of these judges that you probably want to go to if you have at least somewhat of a story to tell that might help you a little bit. He'll usually let you go or let you off easy. But then there's these other judges that are absolute jerks, right? So first impressions of judges. And there are some people who look at God as He's just that mean old judge. And if I do anything wrong, He's going to chastise me for me, or He's going to do something awful. And that's the way they look at God. And yet there are others that look at God as the one who's rescuing, The one who's not so much just there as judge, but he's there to rescue me because I need rescued. First impressions of God can be different depending on where you've come from, what kind of a background you have, what you've been told, maybe even what you've experienced in life. Not so much from God, but maybe from others. And they make their impressions of God based on that. He would come as what? As peacemaker or warrior. You know, he comes as both there too, doesn't he? He comes as peacemaker, but he also comes as King of Kings. And there's a battle. There's a war going on between good and evil. And he comes also as warrior, the one who's ultimately going to bring condemnation to Satan and all those who would follow him. But he also comes as peacemaker. In Isaiah 2:4 it says he turns the swords into plowshares. Is he going to be coming as an ambassador, as a special agent? You're the one who sneaks around and tries to figure out what's going on, or that ambassador, that one who comes to say, I want to introduce you to your Heavenly Father. Jesus introduces us to our Heavenly Father. You see all these impressions we can have of God before we even get started. Read these titles that were given him. We want peace, but sometimes we want peace without the Prince of Peace, don't we? Because it says right in here that he would be the Prince of Peace. And you and I want peace, but we want it our way. We want peace the way we want it. We don't want peace from the Prince of Peace. We want counsel, but we don't want God's counsel. How many times we don't want to hear what God has to say because I want to deal with it the way I want to deal with it. And yet he says he comes as what? Wonderful Counselor. Not a guy that wants to bonk you over the head with a sledgehammer. We want strength without the source of it. Mighty God. So many times this whole idea of strength, you know, and I alluded to this earlier a few weeks ago about Paul in 2 Corinthians where he's talking about the lack of strength, that he didn't have any strength, that he was weak, but it was when he was weak he realized that he was strong because he knew the source of strength is God, not his own doing. All these are impressions we have of God. How would this look to a Jew in that day, for instance, and maybe to one even in the New Testament who didn't yet know Jesus Christ, who didn't know this one who came and took care of things in a way that they never thought he would take care of things? To a Jew, oftentimes, this Messiah that was to come would be seen as what, a political figure, right? Or a military figure, you know, a king. The passages in Isaiah that talk about the king, not the suffering servant part. They didn't read those parts, but the royal king that would come. And so many of the Jewish community looked at the Messiah that was to come would be a political figure, would be a military figure, would be a prominent figure. And yet, this one whom we're talking about over these 4 weeks up to Christmas didn't seem to show himself that way, did he? Sometimes, I'm sure his disciples wish he did. Oh, that's the same thing with me. When they were going to put him on the cross, I thought he's hanging on that cross. If it was me there, I'm not sure. But if it was me there, I would think, rip your hands off that cross and nail him, Lord. It's not what he did. You see, to a Jew, their impressions of God and this Messiah that was to come was going to be someone who would rescue them from the oppressive situation they were in. Under the rulership of Rome and all that was going on around them, they were no longer the Jews that were way back, who had the promised land, who had conquered all these other lands, and their king was the King of Kings. I mean, David and Solomon, these were kings that no one messed with because they really had lots of power. And over the years, because of their disobedience, you see what happened. They were finally exiled. Would a crucified Savior fit the bill? To many of them, I don't think that would fit the bill very well, at least as they could see it. Did the Jews recognize this figure, this person, wouldn't just be human, but he would also be divine? This person wouldn't just be human. Folks, he wasn't just human, he was divine. He came, God come in human flesh. That's who he was. John 1:1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt while amongst us, just in case you don't know that. He came also fully divine. What were they thinking? What were their impressions? It says in that text back in Isaiah again, the government would be on his shoulders. You know what I like about that text? Think about that right now in the world we live in today. The government would be on his shoulders. What's that say to me? The concerns of the world would be his. For those of you who don't know that God really cares about what's going on in the world today, it's absolutely false. I believe that God, in his own way and in his own timing, is coming to the rescue. We don't understand all the steps in between. We don't understand all the things that go on. We don't understand all of that stuff. But I believe with all my heart, because this one who would come is all these things that were indicated in these two verses, that he is the mighty God and that the government would be on his shoulders. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish it. That's what he says to us in this text, and I believe it with all my heart. The concerns of the world would be his. Why? Did he want power? No, he already had it. What did God need that he didn't already have? He had power. He showed that when he created the entire universe, when he created the world that you and I live in. He didn't need that. He didn't need any more power. He is all powerful, almighty, everlasting Father and God. Did he want recognition? He didn't need it. He doesn't need us to recognize that he's God, because he is God. He doesn't need that to justify or feel good about himself or whatever. God is God. He doesn't need that. He desires that from us. He wants us to know him as that, but he doesn't need it. Did he want vengeance? Some would say, oh, I see vengeance throughout the Old Testament. What I see is a God who's extremely patient. A God who is extremely patient, and yet at times he realized the wickedness of the world was so bad, like in Noah's day. I'm starting over. But he's an extremely patient God. No, what he wanted is he wanted peace. Not world peace, because we're in a fallen world. And because we live in a fallen world and we're fallen people, we mess up. We aren't always peacemakers. We let pride and greed and all these other things step in and take over. But he wanted peace between a holy God and sinful humanity. That's what he wanted. He wanted peace between a holy God and sinful humanity. And how was he going to do it? He was going to show us how much he cared by sending his Son in a humble way to begin with. And I think that was just to show us that he was a savior for all and not a savior for the elite. You know, if he was born in a royal palace with military people all around and all that stuff, you could see the kind of impression that would take place. But no, he was born in a humble little manger in Bethlehem. The first people to come and see him were shepherds, filthy, stinky shepherds, to come and see the little babe born in Bethlehem. He came caring. He wanted to be that fix between a holy God and sinful man, and he was going to provide it, as he did on the cross at Calvary and through his resurrection. So when 1 Peter 5:7 says this to us, I want you to grasp it. I want me to grasp it. When he says in 1 Peter 5, verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. And here's the verse I want us to get this morning, because this is what I'm talking about. Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. All your anxious thoughts about what's going on in the world today, all your anxious thoughts about what's going on in your family today, all your anxious thoughts that are about your health today, all your anxious thoughts about your neighbors, your enemies, your friends, your town, your state, your country, and your world, all these things, He says, cast your anxieties upon me, because I care for you, and I proved it on the cross. So folks, He said He would come, and He did. And He came caring for you and me. He really does care. And even if your first impression of God that someone else gave you growing up, or an impression you came up somehow yourself, I pray that God would show you who He really is. He's not an abusive father. He's a gentle, caring, loving, patient, forgiving, compassionate God who so badly wants you to receive the gift that He's given, because He cares. But next week we're going to talk about He also shares. So anyway, do you believe it this morning?
Amen.
Let's pray. God, thank You that You came the way You did. It was not a grand stage. It was a humble beginning. But You wanted to be available to anyone and everyone who would be willing to listen. And You showed You cared. Thank You for that precious gift we celebrate during this Advent season. Thank You for breaking into human history the way You did and showing us that You care. I pray for every person here this morning that they all, if they didn't when they came in, they know now that You are a God who cares deeply about everything in their life. Thank You. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.